Yeah, well, take your Bibles tonight. Turn with me to the book of James. James chapter 1. And if you'd stand with me, if you're able this evening, in honor of the reading of the Word of God, we'll read James chapter 1, just the first four verses. And the Bible says here, James, a servant of God and of the Lord Jesus Christ, to the 12 tribes which are scattered abroad, greeting. My brethren, count it all joy when you fall into divers temptations, knowing this, that the trying of your faith worketh patience. But let patience have her perfect work, that ye may be perfect and entire, wanting nothing. I want to talk to you tonight, preach on, will you pass the test? Will you pass the test? Let's pray. Father, we're glad, just honored to be in your house tonight. What a privilege it is to come and just sing praises to you, sing songs that are honoring to you. And Father, just as we've been encouraged by the choir, and Father, thank you that you shed your blood for us. And that, God, you didn't just stay in the grave. Jesus rose again that we might have victory. And Father, just thank you for that. And God, I pray that tonight you'd encourage our hearts through your word. And Father, I pray you'd guide me as I preach. And Lord, I just pray that tonight you'd be honored, you'd be glorified, and I know through your word you are honored and you're glorified. And so, God, help us to listen and help us to take what we hear and apply it to our lives. In Jesus' name, amen. Thank you. You may be seated. How many of you, if I said, asked you what a pop quiz is, how many of you know what a pop quiz is? How many of you have ever had pop quizzes? How many of you love pop quizzes? You know, it depends. It depends if you're ready. You know, in college, we'd have a teacher that say, you know, now, he wouldn't tell you, he said, we are going to have quizzes. You know, I had some, that, and you like those that said, okay, every Friday, you know, we're going to have a quiz. And so, you know, okay, I'm ready. And you'd have the ones that say, just, you know, we'll have quizzes, but just be ready. And how you responded when they'd say, you get in class and say, okay, take a pen and paper out, number 1 to 10, you know, we're going to have a pop quiz. And how you responded depended on how prepared you were. And, you know, there's a lot that are going, you go, pull out a paper and you'd go, oh, I should have read that. Oh, I should have looked at my notes. And you just, but you always have some that go, yes, and they're ready because they've studied and they're always ready. But it depends, you know, on how you respond. But here, James he's talking about, there's some things in our life that I just call them God's pop quizzes. And there's this, and just like a pop quiz, the reason you call it that is because they just pop it on you. And it's totally unexpected. You know it's coming at some point. You just don't know when. And so James is telling us here how we're to respond to that, what's the purpose of that, and what they are, and these tests, these pop quizzes of the Lord that he gives us. And notice in verse number 2, he says, my brethren, count it all joy when you fall into diverse temptations. Now, the word temptations, obviously we think of temptations is an enticement to sin. And truly we have the tempter, the devil will tempt us. And here, but he's not talking about an enticement to sin. He's talking about, that word also can mean putting to a test. If you look in Genesis chapter 22 and verses 1 through 3, that's when God came to Abraham and said, God did tempt Abraham. God was not enticing Abraham to do something wrong. He was putting him to a test. And in that occasion, it was the test of sacrificing his son Isaac. And we know, as you read through the scripture, you know, Abraham passed the test with flying colors. So that's it's not a solicitation to do wrong. Matter of fact, later on in the chapter, James will say, God does not tempt any man with evil. God cannot be tempted with evil, neither tempteth he any man. So he's saying God's not going to entice you to sin, But the temptations he's talking about here are trials in your life, testings that are gonna come. And now James tells us, now that's gonna come. And he says, notice, he says there are diverse temptations. And that just means they're just of different kinds. And you know, God will test you and I, but we don't all get the same test. Because see, God knows where you are. He knows what you need. He knows what I need. And they're different tests. The tests that Pastor gets aren't going to be the tests that I get. God has different tests, but he tests according to our need. And they're different temptations. But he said our attitude throughout that, he says, we're to count it all joy. We're to be glad for them whenever they come. We're not to consider it a punishment or a curse or a disaster. And you know, while that may seem hard to do, see, if you understand who's overseeing your test and what the purpose is, we realize we know, hey, this is gonna be okay. And we're to count it all joy. That means we're to reckon it so. We're to esteem it. Hey, and it might not just, we might not just be able to go, woohoo, praise the Lord for this. But we can esteem it so that, hey, I can joy in that because I know some things. And he goes on, he says, that's the attitude we're to have. And also he said, these temptations, they're of different kinds, but they come without warning. He says here, count it all joy when you fall into diverse temptations. And I don't know how you think. The way I think is I see that. And you know, when generally I find the older you get, you don't try to fall. All right. You know, if you've ever seen little kids that some of you have little kids think it's funny. And if you're junior high or something like that, you know, you kick your legs out, you know, they'll go, watch this, Dad. And they kick their legs out and fall down and go, oh, you know, it's funny. As you get older, you don't do that. Matter of fact, I was thinking as I almost thought of just trotting up the steps. And I thought, because I did one time, I was coming up, and a preacher, my pastor was gone, and we had a guest preacher, and I was bringing up the platform, and we're trotting up, and I flat on my face, just on the, but I thought, well, I'm going to try, and then no, I'm going to take it slow. And, you know how you tell if you're old or not, is if you fall, if they laugh, you're young. If everybody goes, oh, it's because you're old. They're worried, all right. But you don't, you know, when you fall, you stumble, you trip, it's usually by surprise. I mean, it just, you don't mean to do that. And those trials, hey, they're just going to come. It's not like you know they're going to come. Just wondering when. And so James says, hey, let me tell you, they're going to come. And when they come, they're different kinds, but you ought to have the attitude of joy. And would go, James, are you kidding? Are you serious? And he says, yes, because you, and he goes on to say, listen, look at in verse number 3, he says, because you should know some things. It's not pointless. God has a goal in mind. He says in verse 3, knowing this, that the trying of your faith worketh patience. The reason I can have joy, the reason I can count it joy is because I know who's given me the test, and I know he's working something. I may not understand at the moment what he's working, but I know he is working. And, you know, it says here what he is working, the trying of your faith worketh patience. And that's one of those words, you know, we go, you know, we hear people say, now, since I don't know you, I can say this because I know some people at my church who have said that. But, you know, we always say, don't pray for patience. Have you ever heard it said that? Don't pray for patience because you know what that means. You know how you have to get it. And you know, he says here, hey, patience, it's going to work, patience. But that's just endurance. That's so I stay in the race. You know, this journey of the Christian life, it's a race. And it's not a sprint. It's a distance race. And pastor coaches cross country. That takes some endurance, huh? I mean, you don't just sprint through the cross country race. You've got to endure. And there's some challenges. Can I tell you, there's some folks that have started the race, and I've seen far too many fall off the way, not make it to the finish line. And James says, God has some testings and that he's going to bring in your life. And if you just know this, that those testing God puts in your life, because he wants you to finish. He wants you to endure. It's going to work some patience in your life. And if those trials and tests handle them right, they'll produce that steadfastness in our walk with Christ. They'll help you be faithful. And you know, building up endurance, it takes work. And you also coach basketball, right? I don't know what they're called, but what are those things called? I should have asked you, but where you run the lines, you know what I'm talking about? You go there, and then they run back, and then they run there, and you make them run back, and you know, they go that it's called suicides. Well, there's a reason they call it that. And what are you trying to do when you have them do that? Get in shape. Now, I don't know that there's a basketball, that goes, Coach, can we do suicides? Yes. Hey, we're going to, though they're not enjoyable. I've heard of athletes that run them so much that they just lose it. And it's not fun. But it's necessary if they're going to play a whole game. It's there necessary if they're going to run a whole race, those challenges. And if we're going to stay faithful in the race, God says, hey, you need to count on, because I'm going to send some temptations in your life. I'm going to test you. We're going to build up some of that endurance so we can finish. And then he says here in verse number 4, but let patience have her perfect work, that you may be perfect and entire, wanting nothing. You see, the ultimate goal of the testings and trials in our life is that we mature in our faith. You know, let me tell you, the mature Christian, you know who's the image of the mature Christian? Jesus Christ is the image. That's what perfect, mature Christianity look like. It's Jesus Christ. And we're to be striving to be conformed to his image. And that's what this testing and these trying, so we grow, so we stay in the race, so ultimately I'll be conformed to the image of the Lord Jesus Christ. That's why he said that you may be perfect. That's mature. And he says, and let patience have her perfect work, you may be perfect and entire, wanting nothing. Now that doesn't mean that I don't want, what do you want? Oh, I don't want anything anymore. No, it means I'm going to lack. I'm not going to lack. And, you know, and as I walk with the Lord, and the more I grow, I find out that, you know, my God shall supply all my need according to his riches and glory by Christ Jesus. There's not a thing that I need. He's given us all things that pertain unto life and godliness through the knowledge of him who hath called us. And we have everything we need, and I'll not lack anything. I'll not want anything. Turn over, if you would, to the book of Romans, chapter 5. That's a message that James has, and I like James is was the old. It's the oldest book in your New Testament. It's the first written New Testament book. But Paul kind of echoes this same thought in Romans chapter 3, starting in verse 5. He says this. Starting in verse 3, and not only so, but we glory in tribulation also. Paul. I mean, James says, hey, count it all joy when you fall into diverse temptations. Paul says, hey, we glory in tribulation. Paul, are you crazy? Glory. Well, he went through a lot of tribulation. And he's not just saying, yeah, we just whatever, you know. No, he says, I can glory in it because, again, just like James, he says, I know something. He says, and not only so, but we glory in tribulation, knowing that tribulation worketh patience. Again, he's saying the same thing James is. It works patience. But I like how Paul takes it a little bit further. He says, and patience experience, and experience hope. And hope maketh not ashamed, because the love of God is shed abroad in our hearts by the Holy Ghost, which is given unto us. You see, here's how it works. Paul says it works like this. There's some trial comes in my life, and you've been there. We've all had trials of different sorts, and we, you know, and it's a test. See, if it was something I could figure out and something I could see, hey, the world could live like that. If, man, I knew where all the money was coming from, my car, everybody's glad when their car's working, they got a job, and the family's healthy. Everybody could trust in God then. It's those testing comes when maybe I had a loved one that's terminally ill, or I've just lost my job, or my car's broken down, and I don't know, or whatever the testing may be. But when those come, I can go, God, I don't know how this is going to happen. I don't know what you're going to do, but I trust you. And it works, and I let that faith that comes, and it may be hard, but I can joy, and I can say, God, I don't know the answer, but I know you. And you know what? As God brings me through that trial, I get grow a little bit more. And now another trial comes, maybe a different one. And man, it drives me to the Lord, and God, I don't know, but I'm going to trust you. And as I come through that, you know, eventually I've worked some patience. He's getting that trust, that endurance. But now he says, Paul says, patience works experience. Now, guess what? I've got some experience that says when this trial comes in my life, now I can say, well, God did it then. God did it here. And by experience, you know what? If he did it then and there, he can do it again. And that patience works the experience, but then experience works hope. And that's not, and I hope he'll do it again. No, it's that, like the blessed hope. It's that confidence. He did it there and he did it again. And by experience, I know if I just trust him, he'll do it again. And that hope is, and I'm confident that this is a total different one, but I'm confident he could do it again. And that's the process works. As these testing comes, and we're all going to have them, they're going to come. It's been said, I think, and I don't know if Pastor Brown's the one who coined that, but I know my pastor in Washington, Pastor Dave Brown, is always saying, he says, either you're in a trial, or you've just come out of the trial, or you're getting ready to go in a trial, but we're all going to have them. And so the response to that, a lot of times, you know, if we're not careful, and can I tell you, I've been there where we don't handle the test very well. And I don't know how difficult your trial, but there are some trials that are heavy and that are hard. And sometimes we just cry out, God, what are you doing? God, I know there's been times where I'm like, God, don't you care? And then you go, God, I know that's a stupid answer. I know you do, but you just, the frustration, and I don't know where it is. I don't know what's going to happen. I don't, you know, but we know he can handle it. And the times when we just say, God, okay, I'm going to leave it to you. You know, that's the time, it takes the burden off. It takes that. And that's what James is talking about in this passage. And Paul echoes that in Romans chapter 5 there. You know, the purpose of a test is it's to prove something. You know, an instructor, if you've never been a teacher tests their students not to torture them. I know you might think that. But teachers test. Testing is an evaluation tool. I mean, if you're really, when you're testing in the right way, you want, as a teacher, I want to know what my students know. I want to know, make sure that I've communicated that or that they've received it well or that they know. So if there's things that need to be corrected, well, obviously God knows where you and I are. But sometimes I think those testings comes because we get to a place where we think we're at a certain place. And God says, well, let's check that. Pull out your pen, paper. We're going to test that. And you know, the evaluation is, God says, hey, here's some things you need to work on. Here's some dross that needs burning off. And the goal is God wants us to get those things out of our lives so we'll be a vessel fit for his use. We'll be more and more conformed to the image of Jesus Christ. And God is glorified in our life. So tonight, really, I just a kind of an encouragement, maybe, I guess, to, you know, I don't know. I would venture in a auditorium this size, as many are here tonight, maybe those that are watching on the live stream, I would venture to say somebody or somebodies, many of you may, some of you may be going through some difficulties, some trials, some testings, or there's some on the horizon. Can I tell you, by experience, I know he's faithful. And I know whatever it is, you may not see it right now, but you can count it all joy. Because you can know some things. You know that he's working some things for your good, for his glory. So when God says to you, hey, child, get out your pen. Get out your paper. We're going to have a pop quiz. Are you ready? You can be, because they're coming.